Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the singing of our national anthem.
Brexit means Brexit.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country.
Hello and welcome to Mid-Atlantic, the show where we look at the news and the views from one side of the Atlantic from the perspective of the other. I'm Royfield Brown, who is in the Bay Area. That is sunny today. Thank heavens, it's been raining for the last few days. Now today I'm joined by writer Doug Levy in the North Bay of San Francisco. We need that drink, Doug. And by pundit and all-round spiffing person, Emma Burnell in London. Say hello, folks.
Hello, folks.
In a week that has seen the Brexit Party and the Lib Dems surge in the UK Euro polls, we ask, why are men yet again trying to control women's bodies in the United States of America?
Overwhelming emotion on the ground in Alabama, sweeping across the country.
I don't know how we got here, both as a state and a nation, but it's both embarrassing and a little bit terrifying.
Who are you to tell me what to do with my body? It's my decision. It's not yours. And how dare you tell me it is?
Tonight, the governor signing a bill into law effectively outlawing abortion in Alabama.
All human life is precious. You certainly cannot deter your efforts to protect the unborn because of cost.
Making it a crime, even if the pregnancy was caused by rape or incest.
Do you know what it's like to be raped?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Do you know what it's like to have a relative commit incest on you?
On me, no, ma'am.
What do we do?
The bill sparking intense partisan fights.
He did not make a motion!
He made a motion to table.
He did not make a motion!
Laws like these becoming a new reality, impacting millions of people in states across the country.
What do we do?
Setting up a potential showdown in the highest court of the land.
No law is constitutional until the Supreme Court actually revisits Roe versus Wade.
I apologize to the women of Alabama for this archaic law that we passed.
Pay attention to your legislators.
The onslaught against abortion inspiring people like Mallory Hagan to fight for women's rights.
We don't end up here by accident. We end up here by people not being involved in the world around them. I, for one, think that there's a lot of people who just sort of go, it's not my backyard, I don't really care, until it ends up in their backyard when it's too late.
Doug, Alabama has become the latest U.S. state to move to restrict abortions by passing a bill to outlaw the procedure in almost all cases, which includes rape and incest. Why are they doing this?
This is pure partisan politics, and it's embarrassing. There are activists on the extreme of one side who are doing everything they can to get a case to the Supreme Court so that Roe versus Wade can be overturned. And it's certainly about abortion, and there are many people who are sincerely pursuing their religious convictions that abortion is wrong. What's problematic is that they're inconsistent because this is the same state that is also happily executing people. So if you're pro-life, that's kind of a contradiction. But more importantly, Roe versus Wade is not just a court case that is fundamental to women's health and reproductive rights. It is the foundational case on the right to privacy. If it is overturned, as is almost certainly going to happen based on the now Trump-dominated Supreme Court, the entire concept of privacy to Americans may change.
Doug, let me understand something. For the last, 20, 30 years, the right in America, let's say the conservatives, which isn't quite saying the same as the right, but conservatives in America have beat the drum about rolling back Roe versus Wade. How important is that in terms of just emblematically stating that you are a conservative? How much of this is religious conviction? How much of it is how much of this is political dogma?
It's some of each. It's basically been a ploy. One of the reasons that Trump won was that he had the votes of people who have very strong religious convictions. That's what pushed him over the top. And a couple of decades ago, the conservatives, and mostly the right wing of the Republican Party, latched on to abortion as their flagship issue to bring those votes to their side. So you have the voting bloc that is anti-abortion, and you have the voting bloc that is anti-regulation, anti-consumer, anti-liberal, anti-anything that the last president did. And those two together were enough to win the presidency and also control the Senate. It's power. It's pure and simple power.
Emma, the law is likely to be blocked in lower courts.
Yeah.
And people who have the senators who are pressing for this want it to go to the Supreme Court. And there are other states that are seeking to do similar restrictions on abortion. Why is this fight happening right now?
It's happening now because they're worried that Trump won't get reelected, that there will be a big swing in the other direction. It's happening now because the door has been opened to them in terms of the two, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. It's happening now because we're a more partisan and divided world, your country and mine, than we've ever been. And the people who benefit from that need to keep up the levels of constant anger and passion on both sides. So it's essentially trolling, isn't it? It's basically they're sort of trolling women and women's allies in order to keep whipping up anger from that side, which would then be directed at your own side, which then gets them out to vote. I mean, it really is that simple. You will make sure that you max... If Trump is historically unpopular... not quite historically unpopular. George Bush at the end of his presidency was more unpopular, but Trump has been consistently unpopular, even since his election. And in order for them to have any chance of re-electing him, they have to absolutely firm up the base and make sure that the base turns out and try to depress turnout on the other side. This may or may not depress turnout on the other side. I don't think it's as divisive an issue amongst Democrats as it once was, though maybe in some communities who support Democrats, so the Catholic community, for example. But it will absolutely be the thing that will turn out the Trump vote, and that may well then get him over the line.
Doug, the Supreme Court has this conservative majority now. And that's what the southern states are gambling on. But the Supreme Court did block a new abortion restriction law from Louisiana this year. So this isn't a slam dunk, is it?
It's not a slam dunk, but the pathway has been cleared. And in fact, there was an opinion issued by the court a few days ago, the opinion written by Justice Thomas, pretty much said in black and white that the Supreme Court should overturn precedents when it sees a reason to. And that's a big, big shift because...
just whilst we're here, isn't Gorsuch the justice who's against overturning precedents, and also
Chief Justice Roberts
has
said that as well. However, there's pretty good reason to believe that Justice Kavanaugh has no problem doing a political turn on something, and Clarence Thomas
has written as such.
He's written it, and
neither of whom, by the way, I trust on women's rights.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You've got justices with records that are not exactly favorable to the right to privacy that was acknowledged in Roe versus Wade. And they're activist judges. And that's the startling thing, because, you know, from the time that Ronald Reagan was president, the Republican Party was always railing against judges making laws from the bench, and that, you know, judges should just interpret the law and not change the law. That's not what we're seeing now. We're seeing radical changes by the courts. And the other thing is that Trump is succeeding in packing the courts with extreme conservative judges that in many cases have marginal or even questionable qualifications. And, you know, there was a judge approved to the federal bench this week with no Democrat votes. And that shouldn't be the case. It always used to be almost unanimous approval, because you appoint qualified people who have a consistent philosophy. But he's putting people on the bench that have no legal experience other than, I mean, literally never done a court case before.
Alabama Democratic State Senator Bobby Singleton said that the bill will criminalize doctors and was an attempt by men to tell women what to do with their bodies. Emma, we've had several Democratic presidential hopefuls who've come out and actually commented on the bill. Do you think this will help shape the Democratic presidential race?
I don't know that it will necessarily, because I can't see any of the main contenders, either the top tier or the second tier, coming out like in favour of this. I think the Democratic Party shifted pretty squarely into the right for choice column now, and anyone who wants to, it's even more of a litmus test than, say, Medicare for All or Green New Deal. I think, you know, it's not even one that they say out loud necessarily, because it's just kind of assumed. So they've said it out loud because of Alabama, but I don't think it would be even being a debate, really. I mean, there may be some of your lower ticket people. I don't know what Mike Gravel's position is, for example. I just think Mike Gravel is a brilliant name. It should definitely be President Gravel, but I digress. But I just, you know, all the way from like Biden to Bernie, they're going to kind of have to speak with one voice on this. So it's not something they're going to dust up with each other about.
Don't really know who to ask this question to, because I feel I should ask it to you. I'm going to ask it to you, Emma, even though you are based in the UK. I know that you follow US politics incredibly closely. It's the reason why you're on this show. There are currently 3 abortion clinics in Alabama, which is down from more than 20 in the 1990s, such is the kind of hostile environment which women in Alabama faced who are pro-choice and actually want to have an abortion, have a termination. Mm-hmm. What do women do who find themselves in these states? What do they do when they need to have a termination?
Well, I mean, this is where this law is really, really, you know, so much more extreme than so many others, because what they were previously to do, presumably, is go across state lines, in the same way that women in the Republic of Ireland, until last year's fantastic referendum results, and women in Northern Ireland are still forced to do, and come to the British mainland to have their abortions. You have to travel far away from your friends, your support network, your family. It will probably cost you quite a bit of money. You may need aftercare, which you won't get if you're not going to a clinic that's nearby. What will happen is that women will be left safe. And there will almost certainly not be fewer abortions. There will just be fewer safe abortions. And that's the reality of this.
It also impacts reproductive health and women's health in general, because in many cases, the clinics that were providing abortion services did even more of other health service.
Yeah, and you know, you've got this awful situation of places that absolutely will not let you have an abortion, but they really don't want you to have contraception either. So, you know, it's just policing women's bodies from every different direction. And then when a woman does get pregnant, and the turns out the dad's a feckless, I won't use a word that I'm not supposed to use, then they're still left on their own. There's barely any welfare for them. And, of course, they're blamed, these welfare queens. And, yeah, it just women can't win at all.
I think that is an apt point to end this shameful bill which has gone through the Senate of Alabama. Now let's move to the edifying prospect of a Tory party election leadership contest.
There have long been calls for her to wave goodbye. Now the Prime Minister's hand's been forced. For the first time, we know she'll peer out of this door in June to contemplate life beyond it. Summoned to Parliament this morning for a meeting in her office, but not on her terms, as the 1922 committee of backbench Tory MPs demanded her departure. They emerged after lunch, without a date, but with a promise to set one, just as soon as the Prime Minister's had one last go at passing her Brexit deal via a vote on the withdrawal bill.
She and I will meet to agree a timetable for the election of a new leader of the Conservative Party. That's the position agreed by the Prime Minister and the 1922 Executive.
So just to be clear, if the withdrawal agreement bill doesn't pass, do you expect the Prime Minister to tender her immediate resignation?
We have agreed to meet to decide the timetable for the election, regardless of what the vote is on the second reading, whether it passes or whether it fails to pass.
That means the first week of June could be one of Theresa May's last. On the Monday, she hosts Donald Trump on his state visit, possibly holding the Brexit vote as soon as the Tuesday, before marking D-Day commemorations with the Queen on Wednesday and fighting a key by-election in Peterborough on the Thursday. And just as the Prime Minister's future is in question, Boris Johnson's been providing answers about his.
Are you going for the Prime Minister role?
I'm going for my bike, thank you.
Are you going to be the Prime Minister?
Today he confirmed he will be joining the race to become leader, proving some things in politics are still possible to predict.
So Graham Brady has told Tory MPs that the end of Theresa May's premiership is nigh and the beginning of the official hunt for the next leader of the country cometh. Should we be whooping and hollering at this news? Discuss, Emma.
No, probably not. I mean, Theresa May, don't get me wrong, she's absolutely useless. I mean, really, really, really bad. And I say that partly as a partisan, as you know that I am. But also, I don't think there's anyone in her party who would strongly disagree with me on that. You know, she had such a disastrous election in 2017, and since then has been able to do absolutely nothing. Her Brexit deal pleases literally nobody. Her leadership skills are none. But what's coming next, and that's what terrifies me, we're almost certainly, you know, the people who are going to choose the next Prime Minister of our country are not the citizens of our country, but a very, very small group of hardcore Tory Brexiteers, most of whom, by the way, are probably not voting Tory next week in the European elections.
Explain that for our listeners outside of the UK.
Despite having a referendum saying that we wanted to leave the EU, because we haven't managed to do that yet, because we can't work out how to do it, because it turns out it's actually really complicated. Because they've extended the time that we're going to be members, we now have to have European elections so that we have democratic representation in the European Parliament. These are happening next week. The two main parties look like they're going to get a bit of a battering in them. Labour may come in second, which would be okay. Not perfect, but okay. But they're losing a lot of their Remain supporting votes to the Lib Dems and the Greens. And the Tories are losing absolutely shed loads of their vote, may even come in fourth or fifth. to the Brexit Party, which is the new vehicle for Nigel Farage. Wonder where that's funding from.
I believe he's got some offshore account and he gets paid in rubles or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Tory party have said, at least ministers and Tory grandees have said, that they want to make sure that May has a dignified exit. Emma.
Good luck with that.
Back with you. Can we sum up what the issue of Europe has done to conservatism and how will it shape the party going forward?
Conservatism with a small c, it's probably boosted it. We've become much more insular and inward looking, much more attached to a picture of a past nation that we feel that we've lost as a country. I mean, when I say we, I really don't mean me, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Conservative Party with a big C, Darren, I think it's quite possible, possibly even statistically probable, that the Conservative Party will split, that a large portion of the Conservatives will not be willing to be led by Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Why not?
Why not be led by Boris Johnson? Have you ever seen Boris Johnson?
What a fine leader he is.
Boris Johnson is a man who had to apologise to the whole city of Liverpool as a foreign secretary managed to extend the detention of a British citizen in Iran, who managed to quote deeply offensive poetry while in Myanmar. He's just the only person who would benefit from a Boris premiership is Boris, but that's fine with him.
Doug, what is the American view of Boris Johnson? Because obviously he used to be our foreign secretary, so he did have some kind of standing on the global stage. So he isn't exactly unknown to American political watchers, is he?
Not unknown, but I would agree that his antics were not exactly the sort of thing that brought him esteem. Certainly, with Brexit and all the shenanigans, maybe that's not a fair word to use, but the
totally
controversy
fair.
Over Brexit has cast him in a particularly negative light. And I think most of us over on this side of the Atlantic see him as very much akin to our president, kind of a not a serious person.
Does
who
he seem,
deserves the job?
And he's seem, very much following the Trump playbook as well.
So does he seem, Doug, like a boilerplate European populist? Do you like just lumping him with the Le Pens and with that Joker in Hungary and Poland, etc.?
No, I definitely don't. I actually see Johnson as a bit more of a clown figure, and I see the leaders in Hungary and Turkey and Le Pen in France as much more dangerous and deliberately anti-people.
But Emma, people do say that he is the one politician, or at least one politician, if not the one politician, who can actually connect with people emotionally. We can't take that away from him, can we?
I don't think that's actually what they say. People like him. I think that's the same thing. I don't think he connects with them in a, oh, look at the funny politician. And that's pretty much what carried him to be Mayor of London. That and his endless appearances on Have I Got News For You, which is where people sort of felt like they got to know him rather than got to know his politics, if you know what I mean. The problem he's got is that he was very popular when he did that because he managed to play to both sides. But having taken such a strong side over Brexit, he's lost a lot of the sort of liberal, metropolitan, soft Tory, centrist support that he once commanded. If he gets into the final two, which is decided by the Tory MPs, he will win the membership hands down. They absolutely adore him. But the wider country, I would argue, have fallen out of love with Boris.
Okay. Just give us some hot takes On the next names I'm going to read out for you. So I'm looking at, goodness, I can't remember where I got this. Oh, Paddy Power. Here we go. Good old-fashioned British institution, Paddy Power, the bookies, have said that Boris is 11-4 to be the next Prime Minister. We talked about him. Followed by Michael Gove at 7-1. Hot take. Go. Go, Emma.
Michael Gove is like the sort of clever Boris Johnson that no one likes. He's a class SWAT guy. He wouldn't beat Boris in a popular contest. He may be the Brexiteer alternative if there is a concerted stop Boris. If they want it to be a Brexiteer candidate versus a Remain candidate and they absolutely don't want it to be Boris, they may land on Gove, although I'm hearing that's more likely to be Dominic Raab.
Okay, 7-1, Dominic Raab, go.
I know very little about Raab. He's kind of he's one of your Brexiteers who's just a bit boilerplate, really. But then maybe that's what the, as I say, if they can't have Boris, that will be what the membership wants.
Jeremy Hunt, 10-1.
Jeremy Hunt once hid behind a tree from a journalist. That's really all you need to know about Jeremy Hunt.
And Sajid Javid.
Sajid Javid is an interesting character. He, you know, son of a working class, first generation immigrant, has interesting things to say, very right wing. Is it he who makes his wife read The Fountainhead with him every year? If it's not him, then that's the sort of thing he might do. But there is, I think that's him. You're ideologically pure Thatcherism, but with the Tory membership, have a big Islamophobia problem. I can't see them elected Sajid Javid, but I've been wrong before.
Mm. And on that note, because somebody needs to go to the theatre,
I do.
We're going to go away to takeaways of the week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time where we reflect on humanity, on the world, and we try and lift everyone's spirits. Doug, it's been a little while since we've had you on the show. Why don't you tell us what has been the thing which has illuminated you, empowered you in the last 7 days?
I'm going to tip my hat to Sir Elton John, who is on his 3-year farewell tour at age 72. And I had the pleasure of seeing one of the shows a few months ago, which was really quite a thrill, even though I've seen him many times over the years. But what I'm most impressed by is he did an interview a couple of days ago with Variety, a newspaper in Hollywood, where he's opening up about many of the struggles that he's had during his career, talking about the problems that came up because of all the fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. He's been sober for 30 years. He's got a wonderful family, and he is doing so much to give back to all the people that built up his career over the years and inspire others to do good as well. And we need more of that.
Hmm.
Fantastic.
I thought you were going to say that you were tipping your hat to Sir Elton John because as chairman of Watford, Watford are going to be in the FA Cup final and he's going to have his second FA Cup final with his beloved football team.
That is a pretty cool thing. He used to play soccer.
Emma, it's your time to shine.
Last Saturday night, I went all the way to Croydon, which from Leighton is a trek, to do a piece of immersive theatre. I love immersive theatre. It's my absolute passion. But you could not have designed a piece of immersive theatre better written for me. It's called Crisis What Crisis. Mm-hmm. And you play out a slightly alternate history version of the end of the Callaghan government and try to win the vote of no confidence. I mean, it's just so much silly, wonderful political fun. I just absolutely had a total blast. So anyone who's geeky enough to listen to me rabbit on about politics on this podcast would, I think, really, really enjoy it. So if they can get to Croydon, they should get to Croydon.
I wish we had something like that over here because it sounds like a wonderful way to kind of laugh at the mess that we're all in.
Exactly. Absolutely. It was such a tonic.
My takeaway is I do a lot of travel. I generally don't remember names of airlines that I travel with. People always say to me, which do you kind of recommend? Who do you travel with, etc., etc. I always use Skyscanner as a way of booking my flights. So I literally have no allegiance to airlines. About 2 months ago, flying to the States, inadvertently, I booked my flight for the month in advance, turned up on the day and said, here I am, I'm trying to jump on a plane. Took the woman 5 minutes to realise, because she looked at the date as well, she didn't realise as well, and she went, oh, you booked this a month in advance. I thought I was going to have to pay a new ticket fee to be able to fly. Air Canada said, no, it's fine, we'll just change your ticket. And I went, yeah, but what's the difference I'm going to have to pay? Went, no, sir, you're fine, you're good, get on the plane.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't sound like an airline.
Not at all. It's definitely not EasyJet.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. I was floored. And when I was walking from the one from the check-in desk to the desk to buy the ticket, I looked on my phone and it was going to be £800 for me to book a flight to fly straight away. And I'm thinking, oh my God, okay, that's what I'm going to have to pay. My ticket only cost like £210 or something. So I'm thinking, at the very least, they're going to say, pay the difference. They went, no. You bought a ticket with Air Canada, you can just change it.
Brilliant.
Now, much smaller, but still important for me. I'm flying on Air Canada 2 days ago, coming into the Bay Area. I fancied a chicken noodle soup. You know, they pushed around the trolley. What do you want to eat, sir? I went, you know what? I'll have a chicken noodle soup. Gave her my debit card. And she went, oh, is that not a credit card, sir? I went, no. I don't have credit cards because I'm crap with money, right? I just have debit cards. And she went, oh, you can't have that then. It's only credit cards on Air Canada. I went, okay. Put it in my pocket. She came back 10 minutes later. She went, here's your chicken noodle soup, sir. Air Canada, fly on that airline, they're absolutely lovely. It human service. She didn't have to give me the chicken noodle soup. I don't know where she got the money from. I definitely didn't pay for it, but I got myself a chicken noodle soup. Doug, why don't you tell people where they can find you on social media, because Emma needs to go to the theatre.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at SF Doug, and I look forward to hearing from people about politics, airlines, food.
Emma, you've told us what you're going to see, but what have you been up to recently and where can people find you on the socials?
So I had a piece in Grazia recently, which is one of the things I'm most proud of. Very unpolitical piece. It was lovely. And lots of theatre reviews and more stuff on politics pretty much everywhere. And I am Emma_Burnell on the Twitters.
And Doug, and I realise we didn't ask you what you've been up to recently. So go on, big yourself up, sir. Puff your chest out.
I've been doing all kinds of things, but the part that I'm probably most excited about is I've been working with some of the incarcerated journalists at San Quentin State Prison who are producing...
But Trump's already started locking up the media.
Is that amazing
he's been
podcast?
Threatening about it.
Yes and no. So I haven't been working directly with the folks that do the podcast, although I certainly know them and got to watch them develop the podcast. And I actually had a wonderful conversation with Earlonne Woods, who is the star and who's now paroled, a couple of years ago about interview techniques, which was great fun. But they produce a monthly newspaper, the San Quentin News, and they're now doing a magazine. We've got the second issue literally just rolling off the presses this week. And it is so satisfying to work with these men who, in many cases, did really bad things a long time ago. And they're working so hard to learn new skills and to do some good and to tell stories that matter.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, as a journalist, I highly appreciate that.
All right. And then quite simply, I'm not going to tell you what my Twitter handle is because I've just about given up with the platform because I'm rubbish. Right, I never do anything on there. But you can also find us at Mid-Atlantic Show on the Twitters. But folks, forget all of that. What you can do, what you should do, it's a proper and right thing to do, is to go and write us a review on Apple Podcasts or a podcatcher of your delectation. And whilst you're doing that, go tell a friend to listen to us too. That's been us, Mid-Atlantic Show, because left to centre politics is right politics. Be good to each other. That sounds so naff, I should never say that. That's a US sitcom, be good to each other.
Be good to each other. Was it? Was it Nightcaller? Be good to yourselves and each other. No, that's Jerry Springer.
I hear that. Anyway, folks, insert relevant sentence where I've lacked to find one, and we'll see you all again in approximately 2 weeks' time. Take care.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.